So very good day to all of you and welcome back to this subject on managing IT projects. We are going to get into chapter number 4, which is typically talking about software development lifecycle and software project lifecycle management. This is a hot topic in the IT project management. How do you manage the complete lifecycle of the project? A quick look at why software development lifecycle management is important. It is inherent to understand what are the typical parameters or problems associated with software development. So if we look at software development as a process, if we look at the customers who typically ask for software projects or large software projects, there are multiple things that come out of this analysis. The first thing: software project requirements are complex. Many large projects have many inbuilt functionalities, user requirements, customer experience requirements, at the time of conceptualization of which the client himself usually does not know all the functional requirements of the project in advance. He may have some basic idea of what he needs, possibly some more idea about what is a developmental possibility, but a full-fledged crystallized thought process on what are his exact requirements vis-a-vis the project are never known to any client in advance. The second very important parameter of software projects is that customer requirements are constantly changing. Now, why does the customer keep changing requirements? One is that as the project goes underway, the customer himself gets a clearer understanding of what is possible. And once he has an understanding of what is possible, then he wants to have that rather than, you know, be without it, number one. Number two, technology enablers are introducing different technologies, which by the time the project is under implementation, make possible what was not possible at the time of the project conceptualization. That's another thing. Thirdly, markets are changing very fast, and customers' requirement also keep the client's customer requirements could be changing rapidly, forcing him to change parameters and specifications of what he wants from the software solution. So these parameters or these factors make customer requirements for software projects constantly in a state of change, in a state of flux. Thirdly, frequent changes are difficult to manage once the initial project design and the project, you know, parameters have been approved. Identifying milestones and cost estimates in the software development lifecycle is difficult if changes keep happening all the time. Fourthly, there is more than one software system. Now, new systems that are being developed must be backward compatible with existing legacy systems. Plus, new systems that are developing must also be abreast of what is currently the latest available in the market. Not being the latest or not being abreast with what is the latest in the market creates a risk of obsolescence the moment the system is ready for launch and use. Secondly, we have what is called phase development of software project, where there is a need to distinguish between systems that are under development and the already released parts of the system. Now, it may happen that a system part is released and the system under development, the technology shifts and requiring a shift in thing or requiring a change in the systems under development, and then the systems that have already been released have to be upgraded to be compatible with the new systems or new technologies that have come in. Now, the software development lifecycle has composed of four fundamental steps. The four fundamental steps are planning, analysis, design, and implementation. So, this four steps, planning, analysis, design, and implementation, is the key to any SDLC project. However, different techniques may be used at different phases of the planning, analysis, design and implementation part of the life cycle management. Now, let us look at each one in little detail. Now, each of these phases includes a series of steps which rely on techniques and methodologies and processes that produce specific outcomes, document files that create a clear understanding about what the project is about and what the project will deliver once it is completed. Now, to understand the software development life cycle, each phase consists of steps that leads to clear, understandable deliverables and specific deliverables. And two, the system evolves through gradual refinement and upgrade and improvement. The phase number one, now let's go into each of these phases in detail. Now, phase number one is the planning phase. Now, this phase is the fundamental process of understanding why this information system is being built. Why are we getting into the development of this software project, and what is the, you know, the raison d'etre, the reason for existence or the reason for creation of for this software solution. Now, the planning phase will determine how the project team will go about building the complete software solution, and the planning phase is therefore typically composed of two steps. Step number one is the project initiation step. Now, in the project initiation step, the system's business value and economic value to the organization is identified and determined. So, will this system increase revenue? Will this system lower cost? Will this system improve efficiency and productivity? Will this system increase the speed at which certain processes of the organization are being implemented? So, this is typically the project initiation stage. The second part of the planning step is the project management step. In the project management stage of the planning, the project manager will create a work plan that will determine the different components of the software solution. It will have the staffing plan for the project. It will identify and put in place the techniques that are required by the project team to control and manage the project and direct the project through its entire life cycle, through the entire life cycle of the project. Phase number two is then the analysis phase. Now, the analysis phase will typically answer the questions of who will use the system, what will the system do, where and when it will be used. Now, in this phase, the project team will investigate current systems, current issues, current pain points, and will identify improvement opportunities and develop what is called the concept of the new system or the new solution. The analysis phase has three typical steps. Okay? Now, the first step is the analysis strategy. The analysis strategy is a guide to the project team's efforts. This includes an analysis of the current system. The second one is a requirement gathering. Now, in this phase or in this part of the analysis, the key data points and the information that is required for the development of the concept of the new system is done, and the concept is used to build a set of analysis models that will guide the project through its life cycle. The step number three in the analysis is the system proposal. Now, this proposal is as a result of the requirement gathering and the initial analysis, we create what is called a scope of work document, which is then presented to the project sponsor and other key decision makers, who will then decide whether the project should continue ahead or not move forward. Going further, the system proposal is the initial deliverable that describes what the business requirements are that the system should meet, what are the economic parameters that the system should meet, And this deliverable from this phase is both an analysis and a high level system design for the implementation of the system. Sorry, for the design of the system. Going further, we go into phase 3, which is the design step. Now, the design step is based on the planning and the analysis step, and this will decide how the system will operate. It will decide what are the hardwares that are required for the system to be fully operational, what kind of software and network infrastructure will be required to run the system, what kind of user interface is there, what kind of forms, what kind of data, what kind of database management, what kind of reports will be used, what kind of input information will be used, what specific programs, databases and file management systems will be required to one, create the system, and two, manage the system once it has been created. Now, there are 5 design steps that are identified. Step number 1, which is the design strategy. Now, this step defines whether the system will be developed within the company or outside the company, or partly within the company or partly outside the company, depending on availability of skills, availability of budgets, time constraints, and resources. Okay. The second part of the design is the architecture design. System architecture will describe the hardware, software and network infrastructure that will be used for the system. Step number 3 is the database and file structure specification. This document will define what and where the data will be, what will be the file specifications and data structure. The fourth step is the program design, which defines what programs need to be written, how they will be written, which language they will be written in, which technology will they be using, and what will they finally do. So these are the steps that are typically involved in the design. And then finally, in this step, during this phase, the system is developed or purchased in case of package software, which is the implementation. Now, the implementation phase is the longest and the most expensive part of the process. This phase has 3 steps. The system construction, which defines how the system is built, tested and made sure it performs to design parameters. Then the installation, the system is installed at the user or the customer end, and support plan, which includes the post-implementation plan of how the system will be supported at the client end in case there are any teething issues or recurring issues. Now, system development methodologies, which is the next part of the discussion, is focused on what are the various methods by which a system can be developed, a software solution can be developed and delivered to the end customer. Now, a methodology is a formalized approach, a systematic approach, a planned approach to implement the software development lifecycle. Methodology varies depending on a number of factors, whether it is on business process oriented or data that supports the business. So it is multiple factors that will decide which methodology to use. Now let's go into understanding what these methodologies are. The first one is called process-centered methodologies. Now, process-centered methodologies, the focus is on defining the activities associated with the system, the sequence in which each activity is performed, so which is typically akin to how a process will be. That means from the starting point, which is the input, to how the intermediate steps are till the final output is achieved. Now, in this case, the concentration is on representing the concept, the system concepts as a set of processes with information flowing in and out of the various steps of the process. Okay, so this is process-centered methodology. Contrast this with the second method, which is the data-centered methodology. Now, in this method, the concentration is on defining what is the content of the data storage and how they will be organized. Okay? Data-centered methodologies typically utilize data models that are at the core of the system concept. The third methodology is called the object-oriented methodology. Now, this methodology attempts to balance the focus between process and data. The unified modeling language UML is used to describe the system concept as a collection of objects incorporating both system and data parameters. Now coming to what is called category 1 of the system development methodology, which is called the structured design. Now structured design as a method of SDLC adopts a formal step-by-step process that logically moves the software project from one phase to the next. Now this methodology uses formal modeling and diagramming techniques to describe the system's basic processes and follows a basic process approach of two structured design categories. Now coming to some of these methods that are used, the first methodology that is used is called the waterfall development methodology. Now the waterfall development methodology, in this the analyst and the users proceed sequentially from one phase to the next. The two key advantages of the waterfall development methodology are, the system requirements are identified long before the programming begins, the technology requirements are identified long before the programming begins, changes to the requirements are minimized because all the things are thought of, discussed, redefined, again discussed, redefined before they finally get into the project implementation phase. The two key disadvantages of the waterfall development based methodologies are, the design must be completely specified before the programming begins. Two, long time elapses between the system analysis and in the analysis phase and the finally implementation of the system and delivery of the system. So these are the two disadvantages of the waterfall development based methodologies. If you look at this figure on your screen right now, this is showing a basic waterfall development based methodology. If you see, each step is clearly outlined. You have the planning phase, complete planning phase goes into the analysis. Now these two phases take a lot of time. So this analysis is done. If something is not correct, this is rediscussed with the user. You go back to the planning stage, which is iterative, and again come back to the analysis stage till the user is completely clear on what he wants. Only then does it proceed to the design phase and the implementation phase. So this is a typical waterfall development based methodology used in the software development lifecycle management. Now the second method is called the parallel development methodology. Now the parallel development methodology attempts to reduce or address the long time interval between the analysis phase and the delivery of the software system, which is what happens in the waterfall development methodology. Now a general design for the entire system is first created. What is done? A general design for the entire system is first created. And then the project is divided into a series of logical but distinct sub-projects. And these logical distinctive sub-projects are then taken up for parallel development, thereby increasing the speed at which the software system can be developed and delivered to the end customer. If you look at the parallel development on a diagram, it gives a more clear idea of how it happens. So see, you have the planning stage, which is common for the entire project. Then you have the analysis phase. So you do the planning, the analysis. Then if there is, this analysis is discussed with the customer or the user. If there are changes, it goes back to planning. Again, the analysis is done. And then we come into the design. Once this analysis is frozen, we come to the design. The system is designed on an overall basis, and then this design is broken up into logical sub-projects. So, you can see you have sub-project 1, sub-project 2 and sub-project 3. Now, the detailed design of this is then taken independently. So, this is an overall design, therefore takes a smaller time to design, unlike the previous case where in the waterfall process, where the whole thing was designed at together. Here, this part is designed separately. So, you can see these three sub-projects are moving parallelly into the detailed design stage and the implementation stage. So, because we have now divided the entire software solution into logical sub-projects, I mean, this is indicative 1, 2, 3, you can have 10, 20 such sub-projects running and then getting integrated later. The process of development of software is very, very fast. So, you have this sub-project 1, sub-project 2, sub-project 3, and then when all the three are ready, they come for an integration, they get integrated and implemented to get one consolidated solution that creates our software system. So, this is how parallel development typically works. Then going to another methodology which is called the RAD method, which is the Rapid Application Development. Now, in the Rapid Application Development methodology, the SDLC phases, get some part of the system developed quickly and into the hands of the user. So, what this does is Rapid Application Development, it breaks up the system into a basic system and then adds additional features and additional specifications, additional functionalities and additional parameters in further versions that will be created. So, a basic working system is initially created very quickly so that the user can use it. Okay? Now, typically most RAD based methodologies recommend that the analyst use special techniques and computer tools to speed up the analysis, design and implementation phases, such as using CASE tools, which is computer-aided software engineering. One possible problem that we see, it's a small, subtle problem with RAD-based methodologies, is managing changing user expectations. Now, because the development is very fast, a basic, working model is quickly developed and given to the user, changing user requirements and ever-changing user expectations are difficult to incorporate into the development cycle. The next methodology is called the phased methodology. Now, this methodology will break up the overall system into a series of versions that are developed sequentially. What the team does is it categorizes the requirement into a series of versions, and the most important and fundamental requirements are typically put in the first version of the system. The analysis phase then leads into the design and implementation, however, with only the set of requirements identified for version 1. As soon as version 1 is ready, it is tested and released, the version gets completed, is released, and then the team gets ready to begin work on the next version. So, see how this operates diagrammatically. So, you have a software system, you have the planning analysis happening for the entire system. And at the analysis level, this is now broken up into versions. So, it is defined in phase 1, which will typically lead to the development of version 1. What are the key requirements that will be done in the first phase? So, this requirement analysis leads to design, and from design it leads to implementation and creates system version 1. Now, this system version 1 becomes the input to system version 2. Where starting with the system version 2.1, the additional specifications, the additional requirements are factored in as a part of the version 2. This is then designed and then implemented. This creates system version 2. Now, system version 2 then becomes an input for system version 3, where further analysis, a new set of requirements, additional set of are added. System is designed, implemented, and you get system version 3 and so on and so forth. So, this is typically what we call phased development based methodology. Okay. The next software development lifecycle management methodology that we will discuss is the prototyping methodology. Now, in the prototyping methodology, the analysis, design and the implementation of the phases occur concurrently. What is actually done is the three phases are performed repeatedly in an iterative manner until the system is complete, and a small prototype of the system is created with minimal amount of features. This is released to the user for user analysis and to understand what is the user feedback on this, so that the larger system can incorporate and be developed on the same lines. Okay. So, if you see the diagram for the prototyping based methodology, you have a planning phase, then you have an analysis and design phase, which creates a system prototype. Now, this system prototype is tested as a, you know, and given for beta testing. The input from that goes back into this, further designing happens, and then we implement this and create the overall system. So, this is how the prototyping based methodology works. The disadvantage of the prototyping methodology is gives a system for the users to interact with, to understand or get an idea of what the system is capable of delivering, even if it is not initially ready for use, or even if it initially does not incorporate all the functionalities. What is the disadvantages? The disadvantages, often the prototype undergoes such a significant change that the many initial design decisions actually prove to be either wrong or poor in nature. So, that is the disadvantage of the prototyping method. A variant of the prototyping method is called the throwaway prototyping. Now, the throwaway prototyping method is similar to prototyping based methodology. The only difference is that in this, the throwaway the complete prototype is completed using a different parameter in the SDLC. This prototype is released to the user for feedback and analysis. Once that feedback is received, that is used to design the final product, and the throwaway prototype is, and this prototype that has been created is discarded. Now, this throwaway prototyping has a far more thorough analysis phase, so that is as near as possible to the user requirement. So, if you see the diagram, here is the planning and the analysis. Now, from the analysis of this, we get the prototype analysis and design. So, analysis and design of the prototype creates the design prototype. This is then released to the user for feedback. This feedback is brought in over here and is given as an input to this stage. Now, that information is used to create further analysis and design of the final system. This is designed and implemented separately, and this prototype is normally discarded. So, unlike the previous one in which the prototype was used and built upon to create the final system, in this the prototype is discarded and this is developed separately into a new system. So, that is how a typical prototyping based methodology works in the context of software development lifecycle management. Now, going to category 3, which is called agile development. Now, in agile development, this category has been brought in to streamline the software development lifecycle management by eliminating much of the modeling and documentation overhead and the time that is spent on these tasks in the other methodologies. Now, this project emphasizes very simple iterative application development and uses extreme programming, which is described next. Now, what is extreme programming? Extreme programming was founded on the four core values of communication, simplicity, feedback, and courage. The key principles of extreme programming are continuous testing, simple coding, very close interaction with the end user to constantly, you know, get their feedback and reaction to what is being built to build the system as near to user expectations as possible in the shortest possible time or in the smallest possible time. So, this is the extreme programming based methodology figure. If you see the figure, you have this planning, analysis, design, implementation happening very quickly, simply in a short possible time, leading to system. A system is developed, further feedback obtained, analysis, design added on again. So, this is an iterative process that creates, you know, rapid versions of the system from the user point of view, and something that is what the user would be as near to the user requirement as possible. Now, going further, how does one select the appropriate development methodology? Now, we have discussed a number of methodologies for the software development lifecycle management. How does one select the methodology is not simple, as no one methodology is the best. All have their advantages and disadvantages. And in addition to that, many organizations have their own IT and software requirements. So using the next table summarizes some of the important methodology selection criteria that one can use in terms of selecting the right methodology. So if you look at this table which is coming on the next page, on your screen right now, this gives the criteria for selecting a methodology. So if you take, for example, the structured methodologies, which is the waterfall and the parallel, then the RAD methodologies, which is a phased prototyping and throwaway prototyping, and the agile methodologies with extreme programming, and use these parameters, your ability to develop the system with unclear user requirements. If you see, the waterfall methodology is poor, the parallel waterfall methodology is also not so good at this, the phased RAD methodology is good, prototyping, throwaway prototyping and extreme programming is excellent. If you are trying to develop a system with unfamiliar technology, which means the technology direction is not clear, again if you see, the waterfall and the parallel structured methodologies are not so good, are poor in fact. The phased methodology under RAD is good, but prototyping is poor and throwaway prototyping is excellent and extreme programming is again poor. Then if you see, for example, you are trying to develop systems and projects or have IT projects that are very complex, the waterfall based methodology and the parallel waterfall based methodology along with the phased RAD methodology are good. Prototyping is poor, but throwaway prototyping is excellent, while extreme programming is poor. Then if you are trying to deliver a system where reliability is very critical, then again waterfall, parallel, phased and extreme programming are good. Prototyping is poor, but throwaway prototyping is excellent. If you are trying to develop a system within a short span of time, then waterfall technology is a clear no. Parallel technology good, phased is excellent, prototyping is excellent, throwaway prototyping is good, and extreme programming is excellent. Then if you are trying to develop a project with a schedule and visibility, if you see, waterfall and parallel are poor, phased is excellent, prototyping is excellent, throwaway prototyping is good, and extreme programming is good. If you look at projects which have all these five requirements, you will see throwaway prototyping is excellent in 4 out of the 6 parameters and good in the balance 2. So this is a pretty good method of using of managing the SDLC cycle. The second good one could be the phased RAD methodology. It has good in 4 of the parameters and excellent in the balance 2 parameters. So this is the second best method one can typically think of using. Then if you see, the third one could be a tie between the parallel and the extreme programming. And then we have prototyping and waterfall also on a similar act. Or water prototyping is good in 3 parameters and waterfall is good only in 2 parameters. So this is how one can have a clear view of which methodology to select for the software development lifecycle management. Now, clarity of user requirement, which is one of the key issues impacting this SDLC. In the RAD methodology of prototyping and throwaway prototyping, which are more usually useful when user requirements are unclear, as they provide the prototypes for users to interact with and get clear about what they would actually want from the system through early on in the SDLC. So when clarity of user requirement is low, RAD methodologies of prototyping and throwaway prototyping are usually more appropriate. When familiarity with technology is low, then the system is designed without the familiarity with the base technology, risks increase because the tools may not be capable of doing what is required or what is required to be achieved, and therefore you may want to use, when your familiarity with technology is poor, you may want to use throwaway prototyping, which is probably the best method, followed by phased RAD methodology, which is the second best method. Then coming to system complexity, complex systems require careful and detailed analysis and design, or very obvious. Project teams who follow the phased development methodology tend to devote less attention to the analysis of the complete problem domain than they might if they were using other technologies or other methodologies. Then coming to system reliability, when system reliability is an important parameter or an important deliverable, throwaway prototype based technology is the most appropriate when system reliability can be understood. Prototyping based methodologies are generally not a good choice as they lack careful analysis and design phases. Then if you are having a project with short term schedules, then RAD based methods are most well suited for project with short time schedules and quick deliveries. Waterfall based methods are the worst because when time is essential, they do not allow for any easy schedule changes. Besides, the gap between the planning and analysis and the development, design and implementation in the waterfall based methodology is typically large. Schedule visibility. When you don't have a visibility on the schedule, RAD based methods can move critical design decisions early into the project. Consequently, this helps project managers to recognize and address risk factors in advance and keep the project moving to quick closure. Now, project team skills and roles. Another important part of the software development lifecycle management are the skills or the resources that will be deployed in the project. Six major skill sets have been identified that the analyst should have. So there should be technical skills, business skills, analytical skills, interpersonal skills, management skills, and ethical parameters. And based on this, we have five categories of analysts. We have a business analyst, we have a system analyst, we have an infrastructure analyst, we have a change management analyst, and a project manager who handles the overall project. So these are the five different kinds of analysts that are used in a system or design of the system. Now, what are the key roles and responsibilities of each person? So if we look at the business analyst, now this person is given the responsibility of identifying and analyzing the business aspects of the system, the cost benefit analysis, the project cost or the cost of the entire development of the cycle, and how and what are the return on investment that the customer can expect from the system. So how the system will create and provide business value, and designing new business processes and policies within the company once the system has to be implemented. What is the role of the system analyst? The system analyst is identifying how this technology can improve the business processes. He is taking the business process and trying to link it, what technology can be used to improve this. So he will design the new business process and also design the technology, the technology side of the system to ensure that the system conforms to a certain IS standards. Then the infrastructure analyst will try to understand the infrastructure that is required for the system to run smoothly and efficiently. Now, he will identify infrastructure in terms of hardware, in terms of server space, type of servers, network infrastructure, etc. that is required to support the system. Then the change management analyst works along with the business systems analyst, infrastructure analyst, and all the programmers to develop and execute and manage the change management plan for the project. So he develops the complete change management plan, he monitors the change management, he keeps the version of each change management and tracks all the changes that are happening in the system over a period of time. He also develops and executes a user training plan and handles all the change management requests from all the teams and ensures that this is communicated across to all the stakeholders. Then we have the project manager who manages a team of analysts, programmers, technical writers, and other specialists. He develops and monitors the project plan, he assigns the resources, and he serves as the primary contact point for the project and all the other stakeholders who are involved in the project on the implementation side as well as on the user side. Then coming to Rational United Process, a company named Rational had come up with this Rational United Process. Rational was finally bought over by IBM, is therefore now a part of IBM, and they came up with a set of tools to facilitate the software lifecycle management process. The Rational United Process divides the project into four broad phases. The inception phase, which takes about 10% of the effort, where the emphasis is on understanding the idea and the vision of the software solution or the project, primarily sequential and non-iterative in process, and identifies the key risks at this stage itself. The second one is the elaboration phase, which takes about 20% of the effort, which details what has been, what has been created in the inception phase. Then we have the construction phase, which probably takes the bulk of the time, so 20 and 10, 30% gone. We will probably have 50 or 60% of the effort in the construction, and finally another 10% of the effort that goes into the transition from the old system into the new system or getting this system implemented. Summarizing this project, the systems development or software development lifecycle consists of four stages: the planning, analysis, design and implementation. There are six methods or six major methodologies that are used: the waterfall method, the parallel waterfall method, the phase development method, the system prototyping, we have the throw-away prototyping, and we have the agile technologies. There are five major team roles, which has the business analyst, the system analyst, the infrastructure analyst, the change management analyst, and the project manager, who is the overall in charge of all this. With this, we end our discussion on the software development lifecycle as a understanding. I trust this was an enlightening and insightful trip for you. Happy listening, and meet you again in the next chapter. Thank you.